In every age, God raises people up to speak the truth to the world in a way that is currently relevant. Though our opinions should not be held with the same esteem as the biblical canon, we still carry the hope of Christ to the world. Our society has forgotten what it means to follow Christ. The bright lights of truth seekers are barely visible in the dim twilight of a post-Judeo-Christian society. We all see the darkness coming. All we can hope is to share the light that He has entrusted to us. This is Modern Apocrypha. Hey, I'm Jared.
And I'm Greg.
And this is Modern Apocrypha.
Welcome, everyone.
And we're talking about the same thing everybody else is talking about, which I hate doing, but it's it's sometimes important to do that. And so that's what we're doing. Greg, you wanted to start out by talking about what we've heard about and what we've seen about the assassination attempt against Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a good idea to at least let people know where we're coming from as far as, obviously, we're commenting on everybody's commenting, which means everybody's saying something. What are we seeing, right? I wouldn't just say I heard without trying to put a pin on where I heard or what group is feeling this way. Or so that's generally why I would take a moment to just go over what are you seeing. Obviously, everyone's got something to say, whether that's professional media, people trying to get their name out on TikTok, or, you know, just everywhere sure. In between, everyone's got an opinion. What is the source that you are looking at? What is the source that's being thrown at you? What are the things that you're seeking out? And what are the messages that you're hearing?
Well, obviously, I've seen the mainstream media and their headlines that are just totally asinine, where they're saying things like Trump fell at his event, and then the headline gets taken down an hour later or whatever, because they realize that if they do that, that people are going to hate them even more than they already do, which in most cases isn't possible anymore, but they still will. And then I've seen the videos, the actual video of the thing. I've seen the coverage of the guy who did some analysis on the sounds of the shot and lined them up and showed you how the distance works, how the peaks and the troughs and the echoes and all show that there have to be at least three different guns and probably four that were fired during that exchange, and how he proves it via sound files. I've seen that whole thing, which again plays some of those clips repeatedly. I've seen an entire 2.5 or 3 hour treatment of the thing from Conspiracy Pilled. I like watching Conspiracy Pilled. They do a really good job of covering that stuff. Last week they did the Trump assassination analysis where they hit all the things. They go on Wednesday, so it was kind of, you know, right after the thing, and they covered it rather thoroughly. And some of the stuff they hit was genuinely interesting. Like, there's a clip, we may end up getting into it in part two, but it actually does deal with some of the what you would call the spiritual forces that are involved here, and how the heck did this happen without some kind of really serious foreknowledge in certain quarters. And that's most of, you know, I've seen the actual videos of what happened, and I've seen everybody commenting about it, but I haven't watched a lot of discussion of it other than that one Conspiracy Pilled thing. So it's mostly just been, these people are kind of saying this, these people are kind of saying that. And of course, I've seen the nonsense on Twitter where the lefties are saying that it was purely the Trump campaign hired this guy to shoot at Trump, and it was never a real threat, which is, and that it was faked. And I mean, there are certain levels of stupid that I try not to consider as a regular thing, and that crosses that level where it's not even a level of
a lack of intelligence. That is a spin doctor trying to save face in whatever way they can.
Oh, there are people who actually believe this among the masses of the democratic, ideologically possessed people who are out there.
I saw people crying on camera after the convention saying that they didn't realize that the man was, that Trump was not so evil and didn't have horns on his head. I mean, literally, some black lady crying because she never realized that there wasn't actually a demon with orange hair. I mean, yeah. Yes, there are a couple of idiots, but if you look at
percentage, and this is actually a genuine question that I don't really have an answer to, but if you look at how credulous and how programmed the average Democrat voter in the U.S. is, how many of them do you think actually would be willing to believe that? Because I think probably about 50% of the Democrat base is what you would call a few idiots. I think it's actually half. That's my general opinion.
Interesting. I think that there's plenty of people that are going to be on the lower side of IQ of things in either party. More so on the Democrats. I'm not doing a samesy thing, but the vouchers, the NBC people, the Dr. Phil, all those guys out there are in it for the money. They're literally protecting a paycheck. They don't believe anything. So I don't think that,
you know,
vouchers may be a different group than Vouch and Destiny are true believers of the worst kind. And they are saying things that are trying to manipulate the country into what they want to happen, irregardless of the facts.
Greg, what percentage of the American populace believe in evolution?
I think that there's a difference between going along with a word, assigning it your own meaning and thinking you're right, as opposed to reading the definition out of the book and defending that. Because so many people could not, like, they say, yeah, I believe in this thing, but then they could not give you a definition. Like, what does that mean? I don't know.
Except I don't actually find that to be true, because most people, when you say, do you believe in evolution, they actually do mean they think that life arose from natural processes without intelligent interference. That most people believe in evolution.
If it were so high, I would say that the scientific community would not explode over someone like Terrence Howard if they had a good, strong control over what people believed.
Okay, so they don't have a good, strong control. They are true believers as well. They actually believe that evolution arises from non-directed processes without the help of intelligence. Almost to a man, the academic community's there.
Say that again?
Almost to a man, the academic community believes that life arises and becomes more complex without the interference of intelligence.
Okay, that was a very, very specific wording, and it's a wording that I could agree on. I might disagree because I'm not entirely sure that consciousness, intelligence, and disembodied is not possible prior to bodies.
Okay, and what I'm saying is that intelligence interfering in the process of evolution, in the process of something changing, is required for any logically acceptable or reasonable discussion of reality. You have to have intelligence involved in the creation of information. There is no information without intelligence. And so the fact that better than 50% of Americans accept that life and complex information arises without intelligence tells me that, not that they're stupid, that they're ideologically possessed. And I assume you know what that means, but let me
explain. Or lazy, that they just don't have a horse in the game enough to fight someone over it.
Sure. And there are various ones that are that lazy, but let's talk about ideological possession just for a second for the reader or the viewer's benefit, so that we've got I've been writing too much for the viewer's benefit, so that we've got something to point to here. Ideological possession is basically an emotional attachment to an idea, to a thought that is so deep and so tightly held in a person's heart that they are willing to accept almost any inconsistency or falsehood or conflict in their idea in order to hold on to that thing. So when you say that Trump was not actually shot at, that he, the Trump campaign hired some kid to shoot at the crowd and not Donald Trump, and that it was all faked and Trump made his ear bloody, I think that 50% of the Democrat base is not stupid. They're so ideologically possessed that they would be willing to believe that that is the case. My evidence for this goes back to things like COVID, goes back to things like Joe Biden not being senile, goes back to things, one thing after another after another. They have become, ideological possession has become such a fact of life for these people that they don't question those things. They just look to whatever it is that justifies their narrative, and their narrative is sort of defined by powers and principalities.
It's interesting. I see a spectrum of response. Have you ever seen the podcast Dad Saves America? He's a liberal guy. He's been in music. He's been in Hollywood his whole life, but he's a father, and he's on the conservative side of liberals. He's just born and raised and marinated in liberalism, so much so that he couldn't have ended up any other way.
No, I've never seen it. I don't make a point of putting that kind of crap in my brain.
I accept all of the inputs to try to get a lay of the land. And what I would say of that group of people that are coming out of the desert, because they were raised in the desert, is they don't understand where they are. They see a lot of confusion in their layup, and they both feel like they have to somehow say, I'm not responsible for this, because they know they are. And they feel like you can see it on their face that they have to prove, like you say, they're ideologically driven. If you saw President Lincoln in his tall hat walking down the street, you'd assume it's a guy in a costume, unless mm-hmm. there was some real proof saying this thing time traveled. And so they're looking at this like it's time travel, like it's a costume, and they're proving that it's actually time travel, right? For this, the case of a Trump shooting, we heard this happened. We verified this happened. We know for a fact that someone passed away, and so we can't get around admitting this happened. If that's the way that you're framing your conversation, it should be obvious to everyone watching where you came from.
Well, and I don't know, man. I have since what happened with COVID, before that I would have agreed with you, but at this point, what I saw people swallow in the course of just a very short period of time during COVID makes me sort of err to the other side, where I don't hate these people. I don't even necessarily dislike them, but to me, it looks like the reality is that they are so ideologically possessed by the enemy, by whatever narrative the enemy is dropping, that they will actually actively believe anything that is fed to them. And that the rest of the group are so attached to their status and power in some sense that they're willing to go along with the lie, even though, and especially because they get to look down on other people for not actually being as worldly wise as they are.
There's some
that's
of that.
What makes up the Democrat Party.
There's some of that, but I feel like we're missing a subset of people that are something like the Ottoman Empire turning down the cannons at the end of their reign. They just didn't have
the foresight. Okay, you're talking about the Byzantine Empire. The Ottomans were the ones who...
One of the stories that you so often bring up. We're in that situation as well, because I've heard it said in exact terms that we can't let go or slide back from the great progressive state that we're currently in, right? And so there are an innumerable number of Joy Reids out there that are in a place of power that will not give it up no matter what, come hell or high water.
Yeah.
And so there's a protectionist side of it as well that is not being accounted in the first thing you said.
And the same is true of a class of liberal elites who live generally in the cities, who they're widespread. They do not have, they're college educated. They have white collar jobs, and it is in their interest to continue believing these things.
If you look at those numbers, they're white collared. And what was the other one? College educated. Live in the cities. So a city living, college educated, white collar worker by the numbers is male or female these days. Numbers.
It's still roughly 50-50. It's tilting, but it's still roughly 50-50. What are you getting at?
I was not. I am flowing with the underground conservative movement that says that the vast majority of Democrats left are old, angry women.
And that is okay. So elections are won on the margins. If you look at the actual percentages, you're still over 35%, even in the most extreme groups. It's still 70-30 old, whatever terms you want to use. I'm not going to use those terms. That's still 70-30 in terms of liberal versus conservative. When it comes to the liberal conservative divide among men, among younger people, among whoever, it's all like 42-48% one direction to the other.
Okay. Those aren't the numbers that I dug up. I would encourage everyone to dig up their own numbers and not go by what I have absorbed.
Well, now when you get to minorities, that changes some, but it's basically, it's all one on the margins, and you can't drag it over the margins easily, which is why somebody like Ronald Reagan could win 48 out of 50, 49 out of 50 states back in the day, even, is because when you get enough on the margins, you can still pull everybody over them. And it's why Trump may actually be, well, we'll see. It's too soon to say. Anyway, getting back to the original topic, because we kind of went down a rabbit trail there.
Well, in the idea of just covering all of the different things that we're absorbing or that we're seeing of the discussion of the shooting.
Yeah. So what is it that you have absorbed? Because.
Yep. I saw the Dad Saves America stuff was, we're having regular interviews, so you're here in front of me to talk. But because you're here to talk, and this happened an hour ago, it was within an hour of the shooting, we're recording this podcast. Here are in-the-moment thoughts of that. And it does come across as we're on the D side of the two teams fighting, and we don't feel like we just forfeited. We don't feel like we just forfeited any right to claim humanity because our side did this, yada, yada. It was very much a cover yourself from party blame for this thing that happened to a president. I noticed a number of conservatives from Tim Pool and small conservative groups that were picking on every news media that were still saying ex-president instead of current running Republican or anything like that, because all of the language around the mention of the man of Trump has been to downplay his current status, period.
Yep.
And I saw Tom Bilyeu, I believe is the gentleman's name. He's just a young public speaker, like a self-help guru kind of guy. And he went into something like spiritual warfare about always turning up the heat or turning down the heat with all of your reactions to the world.
You use that term, spiritual warfare.
He used. Yeah, we were at the topic of bringing up spiritual warfare, but it was interesting. It was in the news at the time. Tucker did an episode on it. Tom Bilyeu did an episode on it. Spiritual warfare was a keyword for the algorithm in that week. It was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
interesting.
Yeah, it's quite something. I saw Eric and the Dark Eric Weinstein and the Dark Horse podcast brought on the gentleman that had the multiple shooters, multiple camera recordings, multiple bullets impacting, right? And you know, he did 3 hours of the science of why it should not be one shooter. I saw Tucker bring on someone and do the whole rah-rah Republicans, Democrats are all Satan, vote against Democrats episode.
Okay.
Right, so the yep. swath of things from people seeing themselves as part of the Democrats and trying to remove criminal blame for things. I brought up the topic over and over again, and I'm surprised it didn't take hold better, that in the post-shooting, does someone like Destiny, who came out and said that he does not feel sorry for the victims who actually died or got shot because Republicans aren't sympathetic for Democrats that die in their fraught situations. And I said in that moment, does he get an Alex Jones-style penalty? Does he owe $1 billion? Does Joy Reid owe $1 billion? Does NBC owe $1 billion? Now, I don't think you could go after NBC because they're not in the same group as Alex Jones, but these other guys really are. I mean, really, there's no difference.
Well, and really NBC is too, but they like to pretend they're not.
I think that they could get away with pretending they're not.
I agree 100%. Well, and the main thing that comes to my mind as we talk about this is just how people don't realize how slanted to the left side our public discourse has become. And what I mean by that is the fact that you would suggest that about Destiny or Joy Reid will shock some people, as if there is by rights some natural thing perfection that makes Alex Jones worse than those two. And that's just crap. There isn't. In an objective view of society, there isn't. But the other thing that keeps getting me about this is when they talk about Donald Trump, we've just come to expect these headlines that say Trump fell, instead of there was an attempted assassination. Or we've come to expect this thing of the left trying to cover their butts when they have for years and years been calling Trump Hitler, been saying it's okay to punch Nazis. They've been basically feeding this rhetoric out into the public that says it's okay to hurt people you disagree with because they believe in this ideological thing, when they're lying about the ideological thing. And the whole thing is just crap. But we've almost come to take that for granted, instead of just saying, you know, the fact that this happened at all is almost certainly at least 80% the fault of the leftist media for constantly painting Donald Trump as an evil person.
I don't feel that per se. I feel like we may be jumping on a bandwagon as to who the shooter was. I feel like this is much more of a, we all suck, this is all terrible, and this is an overage high school shooter, or it's a professional job by a...
Hold off. I'm saying that publicly, the reason that it has been able to get to the point that it has, where it's sort of accepted that this could have happened, is the media's fault. I'm not saying that in terms of the actual motivation of the person who did it, I have any clue what was going on there, because I have suspicions, but I don't actually know. What I do know is that the social reaction to the whole situation was driven by the liberal media to a degree that is heinous and reprehensible, and that they ought to face, that basically they ought to be debt slaves for the rest of their lives in menial jobs because of the harm they have caused. That would be justice. There is no way that's going to happen, but that would be justice.
Well, and I'm not entirely sure where is a fair line for political battles, right? Because it's a political battle. And we know that the first election in America, they were calling each other everything under the sun that you could possibly not say in front of children. Right, in the first election of America. So it's always been a tough battle for the candidates. But watching these people that would be the liberals that see themselves as liberals and trying to protect themselves from the blame of the physical attack, they see fist in the air and the flag in the background, and they can't help but admit this is going to be an amazing image for the current running person. And even though they've actively admitted that they've tried, they cannot scrub the internet of that image. They've tried to remove the America uplifting image.
Yeah, of course they have. What I'm saying, though, there's more to this, though. We have this situation in America where for 50 years or more, the media presented themselves as being objective. They mm-hmm. presented themselves as being more for just giving you truth than for holding a side. And then for the next 50 years, they took pains to manipulate people into believing a particular agenda by moving the goalposts very slowly so that the leftist view of the world was acceptable. To me, all of this is just elementary, but when something like this comes up, I have to say it. And so, yeah, the first presidential election in America was incredibly vitriolic, but everybody knew that the media was divided right down the center at the time, and nobody believed anything they said. They all came to their own conclusions, where today that isn't the case. They took on themselves a burden of responsibility by claiming objectivity for a lot of years, and then they betrayed that trust at a level that is culturally apocalyptic. So there's more to it than just this is the same as it's always been. It isn't.
It's the same as it's been since Nixon stepped down.
It is a progressive disease that we have seen going on since Nixon stepped down. Yes, but it isn't the same as the dynamics at the beginning of America when we had yellow journalism. We had the same insanity that we have now, but it was openly divided. People just said, "I support this candidate. I support that candidate."
It'd be really hard to claim that your Jefferson candidate was not being supported by the Jeffersonian paper, the paper called the Jeffersonian.
Right, exactly. And that's sort of my point, is that in modern America, we have this situation where the leftist media, under the influence of, and let's not get this twisted. This was a spiritually motivated, powers and principalities dragged this agenda. They built up this sense of security among the people, and then they dragged the agenda to the left for, I just pointed right, for for decades and decades. Anyway.
So here's something I want to throw out there that I do notice. I should take note so I can tell people when I see it. But mm-hmm. I have seen in the past, back in the Rush Limbaugh years, that the conservative pack for America was a pro-abortion pack, right? They throw whatever name on it to get your money because they're fooling old people that won't, and I mean literally old people like Biden, right? Because someone that can no longer read the fine print. That's the whole point, is fooling those people. And so the conservative pack for America actually supporting an abortion agenda, or specifically a Democrat running for office and anything like that, because the copyrighted title of your paper or your pack or your money gathering
apparatus,
yeah, doesn't have to match what it does in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
right. Healthy Foods could be a candy company.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on this. Well, and really where all of this comes from is just a disintegration of the moral fabric of the society, where people used to feel a moral duty to correctly communicate what they were doing instead of just lying in a way that got them the most effect.
So, right, the Machiavellian impulse to say whatever's necessary to get to the end point that you're trying to get to without ever revealing the end point you're trying to get to or how you plan to get there. You just keep doing anything that you think is going to get you to that end point without ever trying to reveal the end point.
Yeah. Hey, we need to take a break. Is this a good time to do that? You good?
I think so, yeah. I think this is a good space. We've seen a lot of things from a lot of people, from the Democrats, the Republicans, and the people that feel like they are independents, and that's a lot of what we've been taking in on the Trump assassination attempt.
Great. We'll be back in a minute, folks.
Back in a minute, everyone.
as you can probably tell from the backdrop, there are new things happening here. This is my new sound studio for recording audiobooks. It's not quite done, but it's done enough that I can record an ad in it, and that's exciting. I also have an anthology that I'm just finishing now. It should be coming out real soon. I have book two in the Bright Star series is basically finished, other than some professional edits and the publishing, and I'm pushing on that pretty hard. I'm hoping that there will be news on that one in the near future. When it comes to audiobooks, I'm planning on recording both the anthology and Bright Star. And folks, I need support and help now more than ever. Bright Star is doing just fine. I'm perfectly happy with it, and I am expanding both my ground game and my marketing game, and things are just growing. But the best recommendation is a recommendation from a friend. So if you like what you see on Modern Apocrypha, take this as a recommendation to you. Bright Star is worth your time. And if you've read it and you like it, recommend it to somebody. Help me out getting the word out about this series. And be on the lookout. More's coming soon. Energemetra6.com, E6universe.com, promo code Israel, 10% off.
Hello, Modern Apocrypha listeners. I'd like to take a moment to lift up North Arrow Coffee. If you're like me, you enjoy quite a bit of coffee, and North Arrow has a lot of really good coffees. But they're also following their very own North Star to support pro-life organizations. At North Arrow, 15% of all sales go towards life, not just for a limited time, but for a reason. So, if you'd like to support the podcast, you can use the code E6 at the North Arrow web store and save 10% today. Thank you.
And we're back.
Welcome back, everyone.
So, I know you wanted to talk about a couple of the things you've seen, then I'd like to dive a little deeper into what I think actually is going on here on various levels, because there's conspiracy levels and then there's spiritual levels and there are all the things. So what was it you saw that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This other thing that really does tie into our previous conversation about Alex Jones and who might be subject to litigation based on their previous actions. There is a show on MSNBC called Morning Joe. And on the day of the shooting, they were told, and they admitted they were told, that MSNBC would not output individual shows as normal. They would be doing a live stream to all MSNBC stations all around the world, right? It's not different shows in different places kind of thing. And they came on the next day and said, we were told that nothing was going to happen as far as normal shows. That's why we weren't here. If we had the option to be news people on one of the biggest news days ever, we would have been here, right? They were very upset as liberal presenters. If the company that is in charge of allowing you to be on TV or not so obviously sees that you're not acceptable in this moment to put on TV, that seems like an easy, obvious admission that you're on an Alex Jones level of saying things that are at least up for debate as to whether or not it would be litigious or not.
Yeah. No argument. So yeah, that's
an interesting place that you could be someone that would be pulled off TV in a situation and not see yourself as the problem.
Yep. No doubt. So, anything else you want to get into before we kind of dive into a conspiracy level analysis of this?
No, I think the next step is probably that. I mean, we could go on for, I've seen so many people say so many things that they fit into those different categories. I would just be adding people to the categories at this point.
So basically there are only a few real options here as far as conspiracies go. We know that there was more than one person who was shooting into the crowd or at Trump or whatever. We know that based on sound analysis, which even the mainstream media is basically admitting that in some measure here. anybody with any common sense knows that. That's obvious. So we can kind of jump past the whole normal narrative that they wanted to put forward. The question in my mind, you know, we know that the Secret Service was manipulated. We don't know what, how many of them were manipulated. Assuming that everybody was on the same side is always stupid. It's usually the least number of people to cause the most amount of damage is what you're looking at. We don't know who was doing the manipulating right off. We know that there were encrypted comms involved, which means it was probably some large agency or a foreign power that was doing manipulating there.
I get the impression foreign power.
You do. And I, almost everybody who I have talked to thinks it was the deep state or, you know, involving government agencies. And I don't think it matters.
A gentleman named Peter Zeihan.
Yeah.
He's of the opinion and has been for the better part of 8 months that there is literally no way that Trump can win. And I believe that his group felt they could get Biden in as things stood. I don't feel like that they didn't feel like they could still cheat the election no matter what. I didn't feel like they were in a place that they felt like they needed to shoot Trump. They didn't feel endangered.
And I don't think that it's a monolithic thing. I think that when you talk about the deep state and you talk about the non-government blob that is sort of involved in manipulating things, there are lots of private intelligence agencies. There are the public agencies there are all sorts of human beings at all sorts of levels in these things. And so trying to claim it was one group or one thing is pretty tough.
When I assume something of a foreign actor, I do assume something of a state local actor in conjunction. And that, in my opinion, is the pro-Palestine faction of the Congress Senate.
And I think that based on the person who was chosen to do the deed, there's more to it than that. I don't think that pointing at that particular group is particularly great, because the guy who was chosen to do it was, in some sense, if you look at pictures of him, what most people aren't willing to say, but that is obvious to me, is he was part of the woke cult. Okay. If you look at the picture you always see is like his yearbook picture, his high school picture or something. Current photos, it's obvious who he's associating with. And so the question then becomes, what group was it? The group that he's obviously associating with who was responsible for radicalizing him into doing this? Or was it someone who was trying to manipulate him? Which is more likely, in my opinion, because they get these clever ideas in their heads where they're trying to do this double think thing, where if they manipulate this group into doing it, and so they get him to wear like an American flag shirt, but he's got all kinds of weird piercings.
With him, how does this play out in your mind with him as a singular entity, as opposed to a conspiracy with multiple shooters?
Well, and that's what I'm getting at is, the multiple shooters, the conspiracy is obviously there, but who was it who was manipulating him? Because is there a faction that is smart enough to do that, that is not attached to a particular?
So I think we should look at those people that are fully against the concept of conspiracy theory. As I watch panel discussion, whether that's Pierce Morgan, and he'll have four or eight people on over the course of an hour with three of them rotating out and one sitting next to him, etc. And it is Cenk Uygur and the pro-Palestinian group that is really the anti-Semitic group, really, that is this could not be a conspiracy. Don't entertain that. You make yourself sound crazy when you go that way.
Interesting. Well, that's totally possible. Either way, I don't actually think that even matters that much. Because really, all of this stuff operates at a spiritual level. And there's so much that points to enemy interference here in so many ways, where we don't know exactly what the enemy's doing either, because the enemy has factions among themselves as well, where you've got this light side of the dialectic and the dark side that we talk about so much, where you've got the enemy who are on the World Economic Forum trying to bring about that particular view of things. And then you've got the agenda that is the light side, that is sort of more a great awakening agenda. And when you use those terms, great reset, great awakening, it kind of keys you into which side of the dialectic you're looking at. But really, the way it looks to me is that there are actually two possibilities as to what was going on there at a very basic level. And if you don't mind, if I spell those out real quick, and then let's get your thoughts on them. The first possibility is that Donald Trump was standing up, speaking, and God is raising him up to accomplish a purpose in this country of some sort, and that some force among the enemy tried to take him out, and God saved him. And if that's the case, then great, that's a good thing that God is doing what he's doing. And the evidence that I would expect to see, if that is the case, is that as Donald Trump spends more and more time in the public eye over the next, you know, 4 years, he will get elected to be president, and he will become a president that brings America through a very difficult time. And if that's the case, then he's going to give more and more credit to God. And he will do it in a very humble way that isn't wearing his faith on his sleeve, but just credit where credit's due, right? That's what you'd expect from somebody who ends up being in that circumstance. And there is some initial evidence that that could be the case after what happened, if you listen to his speeches, if you listen to what was going on, in which case, you can't really say that he is on one side or the other of the dialectic. Instead, he's a tool raised up by God, and the enemy doesn't like it very much, and they're trying to mess with him, which is the case for all of us who are raised up by God, who the enemy is trying to mess with. And that tends to become obvious based on the fruit of the people's actions as time goes on. Then you've got the possibility that this is a light versus dark dialectic sort of situation, where we know that the enemy can control all sorts of things in ways that we find bizarre and incomprehensible. Whether it's, you know, we don't really know whether the enemy can arrange for a shot to almost hit Donald Trump and miss in some fashion. We just don't know what their capacity is, what their capability is. So we can't say, no, that wasn't possibly them. Which means that if that is the case, then this is very likely a move to get Donald Trump to be even more of a hero and even more of a messiah figure for the light side of the dialectic, to create a deception that would fool, if possible, even the elect. And I go back and forth more now on that subject than I did before, because obviously Donald Trump is coming from a place of being a pretty reprehensible person in terms of how he lived his life, in terms of the choices he made. He was not a godly individual. He was kind of a schmuck, and he came from kind of a schmucky place. And so do I think that is the more likely answer? Not necessarily. I don't actually know. I am very cautious that a huge percentage of the country is treating Donald Trump as a messiah-like figure. I find that to be very alarming, because Jesus Christ is the Christ. And when we find spirits that claim to be the Christ that are not Jesus Christ, that is obviously an Antichrist spirit. I haven't seen Trump doing that yet. That's a positive. I don't know.
Do you equate that with statements like, I will be your retribution? That's a quote from Trump. Is that not in that vein?
No. No. Not necessarily. That could just be a political statement about, it could be nothing more than that. You know, Donald Trump is not a Christian. So when he says vengeance is mine and I will repay for you, that could just be him being Trumpy, because he's Trumpy. He's Trump. That's what he does. Nobody should be surprised by this, but But if he starts saying that he is a messiah-like figure come to save America, sort of like Jesus did Israel, then I'm going to start to go, no, you know, that's, oh man, that looks ugly. And yeah. so I don't actually know where I fall down on this. All I see is just these two possibilities. And I find it to be a closer run thing after this attempted assassination, which it obviously was. Anybody who says that there was not intent on the part of the people shooting is crazy, because it obviously hit his ear. Somebody was trying to do it, whether spiritual powers and principalities were involved and they made it not happen, or whether God made it not happen, is an open question. But to me, it's obvious that it was an intended to happen. And so at this point, I have a lot more question in my mind as to what's going on than I did before, because there is also such a thing as dark demonic prophecy, where the enemy can see forward in time in a way that we are not capable of. And they give people messages, they channel through human beings. This is a known thing demons do. You can find recordings of it online of famous people channeling. And they channel through human beings that give prophecies about what's going to happen. So to say that they couldn't set this up and arrange it, I don't know that they necessarily couldn't.
Right. It occurs to me that we view this as someone possibly crazy shot. I heard the Tucker Carlson Network discussing there was the side of a building, two officers lifted up a third. That third officer peeked his head up over the edge of the building. The young man saw them, pointed a gun, turned back, and fired quickly with iron sights, no scope, and got that close to a headshot, which is amazing.
No. But
that doesn't take into account the idea of a second shooter that could have not been disturbed.
It's also not amazing. Here's the thing. If you look at the range there that this happened at, and you look at the qualification ranges that people face in the military, just grunts on the ground, guys who pick up a gun and get in the military. This was not an amazing shot with iron sights for any member of the military, as far as I understand it. This is actually something PJ Williams, who was a Marine, covered at some length. He said
that was part of the discussion in general, was that for a military man, for a sniper, of course you're a sniper, you know, you're not a sniper, just a regular
right. guy who's practiced with a gun.
And I believe that Tucker Carlson is someone who plays with guns on a regular basis. He shoots.
Yeah. I don't know. I will tend to trust the guy who was a Marine, who says this is just normal shooting ability for any guy who goes into the military, which is not exceptional at any particular level. But with the iron sights.
But the shooter was not ex-military.
Right. But the point is, you don't have to be military to train yourself up to military standards with a gun over the course of a year. It is.
I thought
bad.
It was dumb. I'm not your typical person. I could probably hit something 200, 250 yards on iron sights with a second and a half of aim time, right? I'm weird, but I also enjoy shooting. So I don't know, like the target practice aspect of it, it does seem like an easy shot to me, but from other people, it doesn't.
From people who know anything about guns, it comes across to me as being a fairly normal thing to be able to do, not an amazing shot.
Right. You're just on the border between hitting them with a spear and a gun. It's not that far.
Right. Exactly. So no, I find that to be one of those arguments that people who aren't familiar with guns would tend to use. And frankly, Tucker came from a pretty silver spoon background. So I wouldn't tend to take too much there. As far as it goes though, on the sort of spiritual side of things, do you have a place you fall down, or do you have anything to add to that picture?
Well, I think that things have shifted. I'm not exactly sure that I will identify what the shift means yet. I've seen mm-hmm. some major entertainment-based presenters, I guess is what you'd call them. You could call them YouTube channels. You could call them Twitch streamers. You could call them influencers. But mm-hmm. from that space instead of showing up to make a joke about eating a dog or leaving a dog on a roof or something like that. We're seeing full on reviews of topics. And I watched Osmongold watch the RNC front to back, the entire thing, through multiple videos. It's like multiple days.
For our viewers, Osmongold is a famous World of Warcraft player or commenter?
I would say commenter personality. He's not so famous at being good at the game, although I believe he was very good at the game. He's famous for being a guy who lives in his parents' basement who's now made $1 million, has bought his parents a separate house, and still lives in the basement.
Okay.
He's that guy, right? He's the internet guy in the basement. That's his personality, or that's his persona. And so from that space, he's getting enough of a push that it's important for him to talk about for his own budget, right? For his own money to be able to talk about what's important and popular right now. But that's not so simple as that, right? For something like the most anti-political thing to be talking about a non-political perspective of the political scene, it's still massive.
Oh, it is. Well, this is the most important election in the history of the world, you know.
They say that a lot. Was the most important election of the entire world the first election of America?
I'm being facetious there, obviously.
Sure, sure.
The point is, the enemy is really trying hard to draw eyes to this election, and has been, and is continuing to. This whole drama with Biden, dropping out of the race via a letter that was signed with an electronic signature, and Kamala Harris, becoming the nominee. And obviously there's question of who's actually running the country, which there was always question of who was actually running the country, but it wasn't a question that was allowed to be asked in polite circles because people weren't realistic about what was actually going on, where we all already knew that Biden wasn't running his freaking schedule.
If you were realistic about it, we knew that Truman left warning about the military industrial complex, and we could assume shortly thereafter, no president has had 100% control in the way he had before.
Eisenhower. That's all right. And yes, you're right. That nobody's has 100% control, but guys like Trump, obviously, when Trump went into office, he made waves, man. He screwed with things that people were not comfortable with him screwing with, and he made them upset. That's why they manipulated the votes so hard, obviously, at the end of the last election. It's obvious to anybody with a brain that they did. So now the question is, in Joe Biden's case, who is actually running him? And we don't know. And we may not know for, until Christ returns and the truth is shouted from the rooftops, we may not know who is
actually running him. There is certainly something I don't understand in the overall presentation of the system. There's a gentleman, I'd have to look up his name because I'm terrible at names, but he showed up at the Aspen Ideas Festival in Colorado, talking about the Democrat Party right before the debates, saying that he'd been one-on-one with Biden and Biden had been prepared, but he wasn't convinced that Biden would perform. And then he was on the RNC, called in by MSNBC to comment on the RNC's place at the moment. And I feel like there's a group that is the RNC that decides who gets to run and do things that's separate from the group that would tell Hillary Clinton to sell uranium to the Soviet Union, right?
Well, and again, we have to stop thinking of this as a monolithic thing. It's obvious that there are all kinds of factions behind the scenes that we don't fully understand. And as long as that's the case, we can say, oh, it was the deep state. Well, which part of the deep state? Who decided? And we just don't have a clue. We could guess and we'd probably be wrong.
We'd probably be wrong. The one other topic that I would bring up for people to really just put out a warning is I do see rhinos and people that will become rhinos because they're there to win, even despite that they may have especially liberal opinions on the world. right now they see that they can win with an R next to their name. And so the Nikki Haley's and everybody that will come out and say, I'm pro Trump all of a sudden, or give me your vote because I know I can't win any other way. Watch what they do. Watch what they do. Because a lot of people are looking at laying quiet for 4 years while Trump does his thing so they can come out after or work quietly and, you know, in the shadows. I it's everywhere that the D next to your name will be a deficit. It will be a problem. And so rhinos will be a everywhere this election.
Yeah, obviously. It's like the whole Christian nationalism making the word Christian meaningless in the society.
We had a short discussion, and it's not exactly tied in with this, that J.D. Vance might very well be a Republican version of an AOC. He's a very good actor. They got paid by a conservative group to present whatever the conservative talking point of the moment is.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm confused on J.D. Vance a lot. I don't have a strong opinion about who he is or what he is. I know he has a lot of personal experience with and beliefs about things that actually bring him in line with most of the conservatives in the country more than most do, and that these things come up as a matter of course. It isn't like a show he's putting on. So,
okay,
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Well,
you know,
and he was specifically handpicked for maybe his sort of views, and that might be enough.
Oh, sure.
Right. And it's not just,
well, sure. And he's, you know, the big thing as far as J.D. Vance goes that people keep saying is that he's Peter Thiel's pick. And Peter Thiel is definitely a massive power broker. Yeah. And so to say that the sort of tech faction of the right is making a move is possible, you know, through J.D. Vance, to say that they're putting forward their champion with Vance. That's totally possible. I don't have a lot of opinion on the subject. To me, it's all sort of subject to that spiritual warfare sort of thing, where really what we as Christians need to be focused on is this thing of, we have to pray for our leaders. We have to pray that God will provide us with revival in this country, that God will motivate us to get out there and share him with the country, and that he will bring revival for us, because short of that, we know that real change isn't possible. And, you know, if I had to lay out a probable scenario for the next 4 years, just kind of shooting from the hip, my guess would be that we're going to see Trump get elected and things are going to change for the worse. And all the people who voted for Trump thinking he was going to make things better are going to be like, oh crap. And it's going to be God's opportunity to show us that it is our spiritual apostasy, our spiritual falling short, that has led to this.
It is certainly something that I don't expect massive shifts in the mentality of the administrations, right? These are still old men, both of them, right? They're still in a different place. But I would hope that it would usher in something closer to a conservative next generation moving forward on the politics side. On the policy side and what happens day to day, that should be up to the people to make a lot of noise and say, don't sell.
That's all subject to the spiritual state of the people. Politics is downstream of culture. Culture is downstream of faith. Until we see a genuine change of heart among the American people toward God, we're going to have hell slowly increasing in this country. It's just how it is.
Do you think that something like covering up the Jordan Peterson, Elon Musk interview, because they use the word transgender somewhere in there, that once we can get to the point that you can not hide the bodies in Rwanda, not hide the bodies in China, right? Not hide the bodies in Ukraine. Once people see it like they saw it in Vietnam, that will be the push that people need. It's a hiding of the truth that's causing people to not.
I think it's a change in the hearts of the American people toward God is what's really needed. And, you know, to say what all of the outward expressions of that are going to be, I don't know. But I know that right now when I go to conventions like GameCon in Colorado Springs, and 3 out of the 5 authors with published books at this kid's event are saying, I'm an LGBTQ author. I'm one of the 5. 3 of them are doing that. And the 4th one is wearing like stretch pants with Baby Yoda on them and pink socks and sandals, a green shirt, and he's got ear piercings. And you kind of look at him and you go, well, I kind of know where you are at in a sense, even if I don't know where you're at, I know where you're at. When I'm the only one there who is in any sense conservative or a light in these kids' lives, when I go to that event and I see 2 out of the 5 people being oriented toward Jesus in some sense, then I'll go, okay, we're moving in a direction that isn't horrible anymore. That isn't dark.
I will say that I keep on picking on, you'll have to help me with her last name, Eric Weinstein and Wendy.
It's not Eric. That's Brett Weinstein and Heather Hang.
This is why I don't try with the names anymore. They were some of the high society, attend the Tea Party kind of liberals, like the most wishy-washy sort of person that I would expect to hear. And just yesterday, Heather Hang pulled up in the month after Pride Parade, exposing the anti-child, poor kid. Here's this little blonde girl that's watching a guy in bondage gear. How do you not get to a place that you're explaining sexual acts to a prepubescent, barely able to talk little girl when that's what you've got to explain? Right? It's obvious that this is terrible for children, right? And this is from somebody that I would put as an uber libtard, and they're out there protecting children.
We live in a strange place in society. Anything else you want to cover here before we call it?
Nope. I would just reiterate that that is more than one person showing up to the battle. They are there with you.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We're sort of at a very interesting point here in America, and the next few months are going to be fascinating to watch.
Fascinating.
Alrighty, folks. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.